My Life in Christ, starting page 194, the chief thing in prayer for which we must care about all is lively, clear-sighted faith in the Lord. Represent Him vividly before yourself and within you, then ask of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost whatever you desire, and you will obtain it. Ask simply, without the slightest doubt, when your God will be everything to you, accomplishing in an instant great and wonderful acts, as a sign of the cross accomplishes great wonders. Ask for both blessings and material blessings, not only for yourself, but for all believers, for the whole body of the church, not separating yourself from other believers, but in spiritual union with them, as a member of the one great holy and of the one great body of the Church of Christ, and loving all as your brethren or children in Christ, as the case may be. The Heavenly Father will fill you with great peace and boldness. When praying, pay steadfast attention to the words of the prayer, feeling them in your heart. Do not withdraw your mind from them to any other sorts. When praying during divine service, during the celebration of the sacraments, and the singing of the prayers and hymns upon various occasions, lay surely to your heart the words themselves of the church prayers, believing that not a single word is placed there in vain, that every one of them has its power, that in each word dwells the Holy Trinity, the Lord Himself, who is everywhere present and fills all things. Think thus: I myself am nothing, the Lord does everything. Also think: when I speak, God the Word speaks in me. I need be careful for nothing, casting all your care, it is said, upon Him, for He cares for you. When you read a worldly magazine or newspaper, it is a light and agreeable reading. You easily believe in everything in it. But if you take up a religious publication or book to read, especially one relating to church matters, or sometimes when you begin reading prayers, you feel a weight upon your heart. You are tormented by doubt and unbelief, and experience a sort of darkness and aversion. Many acknowledge this. From what does it proceed? Of course, not from the nature of the books themselves, but from the nature of the reader, from the nature of their hearts, and chiefly from the devil, the enemy of mankind, the enemy of everything holy. He taketh away the word out of their mouth, out of their hearts. When we read worldly books, we do not touch him, and he does not touch us. But as soon as we take up religious books, as soon as we begin to think of our amendment and salvation, then we go against him. We irritate and torment him, and therefore he attacks us and torments us on his side. What can we do? We must not throw aside the good work, the reading or prayer that are profitable to our souls, but we must patiently endure and in patience save our souls. In your patience possess ye your souls, says the Lord. The same applies to theater and churches, to the stage and divine services. Many people find it pleasant to go to the theater, and oppressive and dull to go to the church. Wherefore? Because it is the theater. In the theater, everything is well suited to please the sensual man, and when we are there, we do not provoke the devil, but please him, and he, on his side, affords us pleasure, and does not touch us. Make merry, my friends, he thinks. Laugh, only do not remember God. Whilst it is the church, in the church, everything is adapted to arouse faith and the fear of God, pious feelings, the feelings of our sinfulness and corruption, and the devil's souls and our heart's doubt, weariness, despondency, evil, impure, and blasphemous thoughts, so that the man is not glad in himself and cannot stand for even an hour, and he gets away as quickly as possible. The theater and the church are opposite contrasts. The one is the temple of the world, and the other the temple of God. And the one is temple of the devil, and the other the temple of the Lord. When you are asked to pray that someone may be saved from bodily death, for instance, from drowning, from death through any sickness, from fire, or from any other disaster, commend the faith of those who ask you to do so, and say to yourself, "Blessed be your faith. According to your faith, may the Lord fulfill my unworthy, feeble prayer, and may he increase my faith." You easily forgive yourself if you have sinned against God or against men. Accordingly, easily forgive other people too. Love your neighbor as yourself. Forgive him much. How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7, said the Lord. But this love is known, even this is little for love to do. Love loves its enemies, does good to them which hate it, bless them that curse it, and prays for them which despitefully use it. The Lord, unto whom all hearts are open, knowing our avarice and trivial covetous calculation in those cases when we have to show hospitality and kindness to people from whom we do not expect to receive the equivalent, he promises to remunerate us in the day of judgment, not only for having given food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, for having visited the sick and those in prison, but he has promised a reward even for a cup of cold water given to Christians or to an unbeliever in his name. Whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. O the loving kindness and mercy of Christ, who after this will not be ashamed of the hardness of his heart and his shameful avarice. The devil, as a spirit, as an incomplex being, can hinder and wound the soul by a single instantaneous movement of the sort of wickedness, of doubt, blasphemy, impatience, irritation, malice, by an instantaneous movement of any attachment of the heart to anything earthly, by a movement of intuitive sight, adultery, and other passions. He can fan the spark of sin with the cunning and malice peculiar to him into a flame, raging with the infernal strength within the man. We must stand fast and strengthen ourselves by every means in God's truth, rejecting the lies, illusions, and malice of the devil at their very beginning. In such cases, the man should be all watchful, all eye, hard as adamant, invincible in every part, firm and invulnerable. O glory, glory to thy victory, Lord. Thus may I conquer by the power of thy might the invisible and visible enemies all the days of my life until my last breath. Amen. O simplicity of faith, Do not leave me. Do not have any partiality, not only either to food or drink, for dress, for a spacious and richly decorated dwelling, for the luxurious furniture of your house, but not even for your health. Do not even have the least partiality for your life. Give up all your life to the will of the Lord, saying, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Attachment to the temporary life, to one's own health, leads to many deviations from God's commandments, to the indulgence of the flesh, to breaking of the fast, to evading the conscientious fulfillment of the conscientious fulfillment of the duties connected with our service, to despondency, impatience, irritability. Never sleep before saying evening prayers, lest your heart should become gross with ill-timed sleep, and lest the enemy should hinder it by a stony insensibility during prayer. Be sober, be vigilant, watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. Watch therefore ye, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at a cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Pray, my brethren, to the Mother of God, when the storm of enmity and malice bursts forth in your house. She, who is all merciful and all powerful, can easily pacify the hearts of men. Peace and love proceed from the one God, as from their source, and Our Lady in God, as Mother of Christ, the peace is zealous and prays for the peace of the whole world, and above all, of all Christians. She has the all-merciful power of driving away from us at her side the subcelestial spirits of evil, whose ever-vigilant and ardent souls of enmity and malice amongst men, whilst to all who have recourse with faith and love to her powerful protection, she soon speedily gives both peace and love. Be zealous yourselves unto the preserving faith and love in your hearts, for if you do not care for this, then you will be unworthy of the intercession for you of the Mother of God. Be also most fervent and most reverent worshippers of the Mother of the Almighty Lord, for it is truly meet to bless her, she, the ever-blessed, and the entirely spotless Mother of our God, the highest of all creatures, the mediatrix for the whole race of mankind. Strive to train yourself in a spirit of humility, for she herself was more humble than any mortal, and only looks lovingly upon the humble. He has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. She said she to Elizabeth, of God her Savior. Do not let the devil sow enmity and malice in your heart against your neighbor. Do not let these feelings nestle in any way in your heart. Otherwise your malice, even if not expressed in words, but shown only in your glance, may infect through sight the soul of your brother also. For nothing is so infectious as malice. It easily infects especially those who have in their hearts an abundance of unslumbering malice, and fans the spark of evil in them into a whole flame. Be watchful. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. St. Matthew 7:2. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. St. Luke chapter 8, 17. Cultivate the Christian art of doing good, of heartily blessing those who curse you, by which you will please your Lord Christ, who said, Bless them that curse you, love your enemies, sincerely, not regarding their enmity, but respecting in them the image of God, according to which they are created, and seeing in them your own self. Do good to them which hate you, as the Son of the Heavenly Father, who is kind even unto the unthankful and to the evil, believing that you will overcome evil with good, because good is always more powerful than evil. Pray for them which despitefully use you, so that through your prayers you may save them also by God's grace from the evil malice and snares of the devil, and save yourself too from misfortune. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. St. Luke chapter 6, 27, 35. 28 and 30. But everything comes from God, and should the Lord will, he can take everything away from you. Remember that you yourself have come naked out of your mother's womb, and naked shall you return thither, and shall not take anything away with you. If you will thus live, you will gain for yourself the priceless treasure of peace and love, and shall live long on the earth. For the meek spirited, it is said, shall possess the earth, and shall be refreshed in the multitude of peace. Psalm 37, 11, Matthew, St. Matthew 5. I look to thee alone, Lord, with my spiritual vision. I believe in thee undoubtedly. Thou thyself knowest how and what to give me. Thou art the treasury of every blessing. Thou art mercy, wisdom, and omnipotence, abundantly flowing upon all creatures. Thus I also look to thee, O Holy Virgin, intercede for and have mercy upon me thyself. Do not grow despondent and enfeebled in spirit, seeing the constant struggle within you of evil against good, but like a good and valiant soldier of Christ, our great founder, struggle courageously against evil, looking at the crown prepared for by the Lord for all who conquer evil in this world and in their flesh. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Revelation chapter 3:21. In order not to remember the malice of your neighbor against you, but to pardon him from all your soul, remember that you yourself are not free from malice, as well as from all other passions. Recognize your neighbor's infirmities and passions as your own, forgiving one another even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. Oh, how sinful I am, how loathsome I am by my sins in the eyes of God, of men, and of even of my own. Who can be more loathsome to me than myself? Truly, no one, nobody. In comparison to me, all are righteous. I must be unmercifully angry with myself and must consider it special happiness to forgive my neighbor's trespasses and offenses against me, an unworthy one, so that the long-suffering, bountiful, and merciful Lord may forgive me even some of my trespasses. I must remember that it is only by this that I can become deserving of the Lord's mercy to me. Otherwise, otherwise I ought long to have ceased to live. Oh, how full of misery, of difficulties, and how grievous is this earthly life. From morning till night, daily, we must carry on a grievous warfare against the carnal passions, fighting against our soul, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. Those crafty and subtly subtlety are immeasurably evil, infernally artful, indefatigable. O sweetest Savior, thou who callest unto thyself, O who labor and are heavy laden, to give them rest, thou seest our heart and bosom and our wasted from this daily struggle and affliction. We are unnerved, weak, and we walk like shadows. Our evil enemies continuously vex our souls and endeavor by every means to draw us into the abyss of despair. Stretch forth, Master, thy mighty right hand, and deliver us from the snares of the dragon of olden time, the murderer of men. If any man will come after me, said the Lord, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. St. Luke chapter 9:22. But who is the daily cause of our cross, our affliction and distresses? The old carnal man and the devil with his continuous snares. To look unto the Lord during the struggle against any passion, and after having committed any sin and repented of it, gives peace to our doubting heart and a wonderful brightness to our conscience. Doubt has put gladness in my heart, Lord. Lift doubt up the light of thy countenance upon us. Psalms 4:6-7. Oh, how bright does our countenance become when we look upon the Lord of our hearts by the exertion of our faith with our spiritual vision. Truly, then the Lord himself is with us. As he said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Psalm 1:15. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. Psalm. Oh, thou most bountiful and long-suffering Lord God, thou who art ready to pardon unto 70 times 7 the sins and transgressions of all who heartily repent and ask for thy forgiveness, and mercy upon us who every hour offend many times against thee. Amen. What infinite nothingness our food and drink represents on the one side, and what infinite grandeur the man himself, who is fed by them, represents on the other hand. It is not the greatest insanity for man, for his image of God, for his partaker of the divine nature, for whom God may be all, God may be all in all, to grudge food, drink, clothing, dwelling, and anything else earthly. Let the dust be dust, but let the immortal image of the immortal God be always exalted and preferred before everything earthly, corruptible, and transitory. Therefore, do not let us be sparing of anything for our neighbor. Oh, what a great honor it is to feed, to clothe, to give rest to the image of God, most glorious and most bountiful God. Fill our hearts with mercy and bountifulness. God's saints had the eyes of their understanding enlightened, and with these eyes, they clearly saw the wants of our sin corrupted nature, clearly saw for what we should pray, for what we should ask, for what we should give thanks, how we should praise the Lord, and they left us the most perfect examples of prayers of various kinds. Oh, how beautiful these prayers are! Sometimes we do not feel and do not know their value, whilst we well know the value of food and drink and of fashionable attire, of well-furnished rooms and of theatres and music, and of the worldly literature, especially the novels, that fluent, empty mass of words. And alas, we trample under the feet the precious pearls of prayers, and whilst everything worldly finds a welcome, wide sheltered in the hearts of most people, prayer, alas, does not find even a narrow corner in them, cannot get into them, and when it begs us to let it in, it is thrust out like a mendicant, like a man who has not a wedding garment. Rejoice at every opportunity of showing kindness to your neighbor as a true Christian who strives to store up as many good works as possible, especially the treasures of love. Do not rejoice when others throw you kindness and love. Consider yourself unworthy of it. But rejoice when an occasion presents itself for you to show love. Show love simply, without any deviation into cunning thoughts, without any trivial worldly covetous calculations, remembering that love is God Himself. Remember that He sees all your ways, sees all the thoughts and movements of your heart. Do not pass any opportunity for praying for any man, either at his request or at the request of his relatives, friends, and those who esteem him, or of his acquaintances. The Lord looks favorably upon the prayer of our love and upon our boldness before Him. Besides this, prayer for others is very beneficial to the man himself who prays for others. It purifies the heart, strengthens faith and hope in God, and enkindles our love for God and our neighbor. When praying, say thus, Lord, it is possible for thee to do this or that to this servant of thine. Do this for him. For thy name is the merciful lover of men and the Almighty. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, not only unto your children, but also to strangers, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give all possible good things to them that ask him? See Matthew 7, chapter 11th verse. Glory to thee, Lord our Father, most wise prover of my love for thee and my neighbor. Do not leave me without the temptations which are necessary and beneficial in accordance with thy wisdom and truth, not for a single day of my life. May they confirm, strengthen, and increase my love for thee and my neighbor, and may I not appear poor and empty before thy face at the day of thy judgment. If I, a weak man, when I wish to do anything within the limits of my capability, am able to do it. For instance, if I wish to write a book, I write it. If I wish to cure an illness, I cure it. If I wish to make anything, I make it. For instance, if I want to build a house or a church, I build such a house or church. And if I say to another man, come, and he comes, go, and he goes, do this, and he does it, then cannot God the Almighty do everything that he may desire? As for our God, he is in heaven. He has done whatsoever pleased him. if any, sometimes a man only says two words, that something shall be, and it really comes to pass, though perhaps not at once, but after a certain time, then will not everything be done at once that is commanded by the word of the Creator? Will not everything that He desires be done at once at a single word from Him? For He spake the word, and they were made. He commanded, and they were created. We are not creators of men, yet they do so much at our word. We are not creators of things, yet in accordance with our wishes and acts, they take thousands of shapes and serve for our innumerable requirements and pleasures. We do not create matter, but we create both great and small objects from matter. Cannot, therefore, the Creator, who is everywhere present and fills all things, at whose word all things came from non-existence into being, by whose thought, by whose will, and by whose word all the infinite varieties of things were created and exist, create anything He desires? If a human physician can sometimes bring back to life a half-dead person by means of knowledge of his profession and skillful, well-directed action on part of the cause of the illness, can it therefore the Creator of physicians and the science of healing cure at His single wish and word every illness? Cannot the Creator even raise the dead at His single word? Let us remember glory to Him, we of little faith, and let us say to Him from our hearts, all things are possible unto Thee, Lord, and nothing is impossible to Thee. Amen. O Thou, O mighty Sovereign, to whose single sign all things, the whole visible and invisible world are obedient, grant that I may unceasingly glorify Thee by the simplicity of my faith in Thy infinite power. Give me the faith that I will not be ashamed, firm hope and unfeigned love for Thee and my neighbor. He, God, is before all things, and by Him all things consist. A great immeasurable meaning is contained in these words. They explain the name of I Am That I Am, by which name the Lord named Himself to Moses. For I Am signifies Him who exists before all things, and by whom all things exist. These words show the infinite omnipotence and grace and the immeasurable wisdom of the Lord our God. Great is our God, and great is His power, and His wisdom is infinite. If in being in an assemblage of men, you call a person known to you, and he comes to you, if you ask one or many men subservient to you to do anything for you within the limits of his or their capability, and they fulfill your request, satisfying it according to your desire, and even beyond your desire, then be assured that likewise the God's church in that great house of God divided into two halves, the heavenly and the earthly, any of the numbers of the church in heaven whom you call upon will come to your spiritual help conformably to His grace and abundance of His love. Ask Him to do anything for you that you please, especially anything relating to kingdom and righteousness of God, and He will do it through His closest association with God, the source of grace and power. God's saints also hear you, as, for instance, the whole congregation hears you when you pray or speak. little word, for they are in the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit is everywhere present and fills all things. Our self-love and pride manifests themselves especially in impatience and irritability, when some of us cannot bear the slightest unpleasantness intentionally or even unintentionally caused us by others. What obstacles lawfully or unlawfully, intentionally or unintentionally opposed to us by men or caused by the objects surrounding us. Our self-love and pride would like everything to be as we wish, that we should be surrounded by every honor and comfort of this temporal life. We would like all men, and even far, how far is pride carried, or nature itself, to speedily and silently obey a sign from us, whilst alas, we ourselves are very slow to faith and to every good work, slow to please the one master of all. Christians, you must absolutely be humble and meek and long-suffering, remembering that you are clay, dust, nothingness, that you are impure, that everything good that you have is from God, that your life, your breath and everything you possess are God's gifts, that for your sins and disobedience and the intemperance you ought now to redeem your future blessedness in paradise by the long suffering which is indispensable in this world of the imperfections and innumerable transgressions of the fallen men living together with us and forming the numerous members of the one sin-sullied human race. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. He who is impatient and irritable does not know himself and the human race, and is unworthy of the name of Christian. In saying this, I pronounce judgment against myself, for I am the first of those who are afflicted with the impatience and irritability. Our life is children's play, only not innocent, but sinful, because with a strong mind and with a knowledge of the purpose of our life, we neglect this purpose and occupy ourselves with frivolous, purposeless matters, and thus our life is childish, unpardonable play. We amuse ourselves with food and drink, gratifying ourselves by them instead of only using them for the necessity and nourishment of our body and for the support of our bodily life. We amuse ourselves with dress instead of only decent covering our body and protecting it from the injurious actions of the elements. We amuse ourselves with silver and gold, admiring them in treasures and or using them for objects of luxury and pleasure instead of using them only for our real needs, the sharing of our superfluity with those in want. We amuse ourselves with our houses and various furniture in them, decorating them richly and exquisitely, instead of merely having a secure and decent roof to protect us from the injurious actions of the elements and things necessary and suitable for domestic use. We amuse ourselves with our mental gifts, with our intellect, imaginations, using them only to serve sin and the vanity of this world, that is, only to serve earthly and corruptible things, instead of using them before all and above all to serve God and to learn to know Him and the all-wise Creator of every creature, for prayer, supplication, petition, thanksgiving, and praise to Him, and to show mutual love and respect, and only partly to serve this world, which will someday entirely pass away. We amuse ourselves with our knowledge of worldly vanity, and to acquire this knowledge we waste most precious time, which was given to us for our preparation for eternity. We frequently amuse ourselves with our affairs and business, with our duties, fulfilling them heedlessly and carelessly and wrongfully, and using them for our own covetous earthly purposes. We amuse ourselves with beautiful human faces or the fair, weaker sex, and often use them for the sport of our passions. We amuse ourselves with time, which ought to be wisely utilized for redeeming eternity and not for games and various pleasures. Finally, we abuse ourselves with our own selves, making idols out of ourselves before which we bow down and before which we expect others to bow down. Who can sufficiently describe and deplore our accursedness, our great, enormous vanity and great misery unto which we voluntarily throw ourselves? What answer shall we give to our immortal King, Christ our God, who shall come again in the glory of his Father to judge both the quick and the dead, to declare the secret thoughts of all heart, to receive from us our answer for our word and deed? Oh, woe, woe, woe to us who bear the name of Christ but have none of the Spirit of Christ in us, who bear the name of Christ but do not follow the teaching of the gospel. Woe unto us who neglect so great salvation. Woe unto us who love the present fleeting, deceiving life and neglect the inheritance of the life that follows after the death of our corruptible body beyond this carnal wealth. One of the infirmities of the human spirit is its slowness to faith and its slothfulness to acquiring a knowledge of truth, especially of the truth of faith and piety. What do youth and even grown-ups and elders people study most inertly and slothfully? The truth of faith and piety. This is proved by innumerable experiences. In order that men should esteem and love each other, should not be proud, should not be arrogant to each other, the most wise Lord has given to different men different natural and beneficial advantages, so that they may have need for each other. In this matter, each one of us must involuntarily acknowledge this or that infirmity and humble himself before God and men. God, thou thyself hast said by thy most pure lips, be ye therefore perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I long to be perfect. Be thou therefore every perfection for me. For thou hast said also, for without me ye can do nothing. O prayers, assume the great poverty and misery of our fallen nature. They also assume that the Lord is the ever-flowing source of every perfection, every blessing, that he is our inexhaustible treasury. Truly, we must have poverty of spirit during prayer and at all times. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Consider how great is man. God dwelleth in him and he in God, so that in a pious creation it is as though not a man but Christ be himself lives. Nevertheless, I live yet, not I but Christ liveth in me. Galatians 2, verse 20. Because the whole soul becomes Christ, as iron in the furnace itself becomes fiery like the burning coal, it is all fire, all light, all warmth. preserve a meek and peaceful disposition towards your brother, even when he cunningly or artfully or sometimes unintentionally deprives you of all you possesses, of all you possess. Show then that you love God, God's image in him, more than anything earthly and perishable, and that your charity never faileth of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him take thy cloak also. Do not let the enemy shame you for laying your hopes upon such earthly dust as money and food more than upon God, but shame him to himself by your firm trust in God and in his holy word. For man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In every word, for every word of the Lord created can support your life, just as every word can create and transform thousands of creatures. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Thus, at his word, he brought from non-existence into being the myriads of the immortal heavenly hosts, and having sanctified them by the Holy Ghost, strengthened and supported them in their being. Do not foolishly lower the dignity of your immortal spirit by vainly trusting in earthly dust. Say, my trust is in God, or the Father is my trust, the Son is my refuge, the Holy Ghost is my protection. O Holy Trinity, glory to thee. Prayer of Saint John Narcissus from Evening Prayers at the Russian Church. And yet, how many of us become irritated and lose their temper when they are deprived, not of their last coin, but only of some small part of by no means their last property. How much agitation, anger, bile, bitter reproaches, murmurings, sometimes even curses, righteous God can destroy cold money or this food and drink produce such storms in our Christian soul, in us who know the words of our sweetest Savior? Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Behold the birds of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:25-26-33. Or what a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. My God, to what have we come? In what are we better than heathens in our mode of life? Where is our faith, our trust in God, our love for our neighbors? O pride of the Satan, O what shame is ours! Heavenly Father, thou who knowest what things we are in need of and givest them to us before we ask thee, have mercy upon us ungrateful, unfaithful, ungrateful, and evil-natured ones. Lord, we hear thy merciful words, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. But being daily tempted by earthly blessings, we do not heed them and transgress thy will. Do not fear bodily privations, but fear spiritual privations. Do not fear, do not be faint-hearted, do not be irritated when you are deprived of money, food, drink, enjoyments, clothes, dwellings, or even of your own body itself. But fear when the enemy deprives your soul of faith, of trust, and love for God and your neighbor, when he sows hatred, enmity, attachments to earthly things, pride, and other signs in your heart. Fear not them, men, which will kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. It is said of the unchangeableness of God, oh, if you men were always the same, today, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, and so on, and if you did not change in a thousand ways like a kaleidoscope, oh, if you too were always equally peaceful, kind, simple, amiable, patient, industrious, benevolent, and generous, but you can be such if by hearty faith and love you unite yourself to the unchangeable. For I am the Lord, I change not. I preserve my servants from falling into evil, for I am the source of mercy, benefit those who serve me worthily. Peace is the integrity and health of the soul. To lose peace is to lose spiritual health. Reverence with all the powers of your soul, all the sacraments, and say to yourself in respect to every sacrament before the celebration or the communion of it, this is God's mystery. I myself am only an unworthy witness or partaker of it. Otherwise, our proud intellect even wishes to search out God's mysteries, and if unable to penetrate it, rejects it as not coming under this small measure of our intellect. If a single word of an earthly king causes great deeds to come to pass in his kingdom, he speaks and the work begins and is accomplished. Then will not the word of the Lord of all material and spiritual, visible and invisible creatures accomplish everything he desires? Shall he speak and it not be created? Shall he speak and it not be done? O almighty power, able to accomplish everything in one single moment, do not leave us on account of our sins, and above all on account of our incredulity and despair, to be tormented by our own infirmities, lest we be destroyed like earthen vessels. Grant that we may not doubt in the fulfillment of our every right request. O visible nature, all its parts, great and small, down to this very smallest, at every instant remind us that everything has proceeded from the Lord and exists and moves by him, that everything is or comes into being through him and at each moment obeys him. Oh, how low has our nature fallen through our passion for eating. Oh, thrice accursed Satan, who has precipitated us and still precipitates us through food into thousands of evils. Oh, food and drink that so powerfully tempt us. How long shall we be allured by you and place our life in you? When shall we engrave deeply upon our hearts the Savior's words? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And bring these words into our life and actions. How long will our greediness, self-indulgence, surfeiting, and drunkenness continue? How long will our abominable avarice and love of money continue? How long will our pride and animosity and malice against our neighbors through money, dress, houses, food, and drink lust. Thousands of Satan's deceits by means of food, dress, and money disclose themselves in our spiritual vision, and yet we still continue to be allured by his enticement as though by something real, useful to us, whilst in fact we are caring for neither more nor less than destructive illusions, and for that which is most pernicious, both spiritually and bodily, to our own selves. Do not believe, brethren, in the enemy's enticements. Not for a single moment when the matter concerns food and drink. However plausible they may apparently be, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I spake not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, which is hypocrisy. In the matters of faith and piety, pay the utmost attention to the faith and piety. Labor not for the meat for which perishes, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Give away even the last that you have, if there is need of it, remembering the words of the Savior. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him take thy cloak also. That is, give away the last that you have. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. It is this what men of the world and even many of the clergy are now doing. Is not this what men of the world and even many of the clergy are now doing? Do they not choose for themselves teachers that flatter their hearing? They do not learn of the one teacher, Christ, from his gospel and his church, but they learn of worldly journalists, novelists, poets, actors, and exclaim, oh, how interesting all this is, how instructive it is all, and say, if not in words, then in their deeds, we have no need of either the gospel or of the church, which with its services and sacraments and preachings of God's word. We have such good, such most moral teachers, Lord Jesus, to what have we come? They have cast thy words behind them. Do not be despondent, and do not fall into despair when you feel within your soul the deadly breath and ferment of malice and evil, impatience and blasphemy, or any weakness from impure thoughts, but fight against them unremittingly and endure valiantly, calling with all your heart upon the Lord Jesus, the conqueror of hell. Humble yourself deeply, deeply acknowledging yourself from the depths of your soul as the first of sinners, unworthy of human fellowship, and the Lord, seeing your humility and your struggle, will help you. Call also to your help the speedily mediatrix, the Most Holy Virgin, the Mother of God, saying, Heal, Most Pure Mother, the many painful wounds of my soul, and strike the enemies constantly fighting against me. If you truly call God your Father, then trust in him as in the one Father, most merciful, almighty, most wise, unchangeable in his love and his perfection. Trust in him and respect to granting you future blessings in Jesus Christ. Engrave deeply in your heart the words, God is my Father, our Father which art in heaven. But as through the love of the Heavenly Father for you, you yourself have become a child of God, as having come forth from him, as possessing reason and free will, you ought on your part to use all your effort to attain the blessed and eternal heavenly inheritance. You ought to know and always remember that you are a fallen being, as you fell, possessing reason and freedom, fell by your own will. Then, by that same reason, which is enlightened by the light of the Word of God and the divine light of the Holy Ghost, by that same free will, strengthened by the grace of the Holy Ghost in Jesus Christ, rise up from your fall and go forward without stopping towards the heavenly endless life, despising all earthly things as perishable and quickly passing away, and especially not attaching yourself to silver and gold, to food, to drink, through which such a depth of evil has fallen upon all the human race. Thank our most speedily mediatrix, our lady, the mother of our Lord, the most pure, most good Virgin Mary, for saving us through our fervent prayer from the harassment and oppressions of the devil. Look up to her with the eyes of your heart and the Holy Ghost, who is everywhere present and fills all things, and who is incomplex. Look up at her as being close to your very heart, and call upon her, most speedily, Lady Mediatrix, Mother, Mary, Mother of God, save me from the enemy and disturber. And immediately, in an instant, she will save you according to the faith of your heart, according to your soul's trust in her, and the oppression, the fire, and the heavenly despondency will fall aside and leave you. It is only necessary to represent to yourself and firmly believe that the Holy Ghost is everywhere, in every place, and that he is the incomplex being, and that in him all heaven is near us, as upon the palm of the hand, with all the angels and saints, so that we have only to call upon the Lord, or upon the Virgin Mother of God, and any saint from the depth of the heart, with clear-sighted faith, with heartfelt repentance for the sins by which we are bound by the enemy, or which we have bound voluntarily ourselves in our salvation, immediately shine forth. Marvelous is the saving power of Our Lady. It flows into the heart like a healing balsam, or like a fragrant, life-giving air, or like calming water. Only look at her with the eyes of your heart, trusting in her mercy and help. But this, too, is difficult, to look on her with heartfelt, clear-sighted faith, just as it is difficult to look on the Lord Jesus Christ or the saints. But the enemy endeavors by every means to stand like a hard, high, dark wall between our souls and the Lord or the Mother of God and the angels and the saints. The cursed one does not allow the eye of the heart to see the Lord or his saints. He darkens our heart in every way. He scatters faith, oppressing, burning, and darkening us inwardly. We must look upon all such affliction as illusion and falsehood, and break through this imaginary wall to the Lord and to the Holy Mother, his Holy Mother and his saints. As soon as you break through this wall, you will immediately be saved. Thy faith has made thee whole. St. Matthew, 9th chapter, 22nd verse. Glory be to God.